So it's worship night, but I'm going to take maybe 5 minutes here. I want to speak into just this, what's kind of the core issue of life and certainly of the gospel, and that's our relationship with God. And, you know, we kind of got into it a little bit on Sunday, and it's so easy to live life just kind of with our five physical senses, you know, and we just go from this thing to the next, go throughout our day, and not engage our spiritual senses and open up our ears to the voice of the Lord and open up our eyes to see like Jesus sees, you know. Remember what he told the disciples in Samaria when the people were coming out of Sychar, that town of the Samaritan woman? Open up your eyes. The fields are white. So there's a seeing that happens as we walk in the Spirit, as we lean upon the Lord, as we cultivate communion with God. So prayer is such a vital, important piece of that. So let me give you just a couple thoughts on prayer. And this is simple. Nobody's going to go tonight, oh, that was something I never heard. But prayer at its essence is communion with God. It's conversation with the living God. And just like we converse with one another, we just got done chatting with one another, and Eli had given me material. You have to hire him. And we get to know each other. Well, it's really no different with God, other than God is God. And so it's talking with him. It's pouring out the contents of our heart to him. And then it's also listening to him. So a couple thoughts about prayer. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. The Lord is near. And immediately my mind goes to James, where it says, draw near to the Lord. And what will he do? He'll draw near to you. Like, that is a rock solid promise in the Bible. That's why, you know, the devil wants to come in and put a wedge and go, oh, you don't deserve to talk to God. We don't, you're right. But because of Jesus, we are made right in God's sight. And so all of that stuff that the devil beats us up about, our past, that maybe our present, maybe we screwed up recently or whatever, come boldly before his throne of grace so that we may receive help in the time of need, in the time of trouble. So prayer is communion with God, and prayer, it requires faith and it requires trust. So Hebrews 11:6 puts it this way. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So faith obviously means we have to believe in God, but also enough to seek him and that he's going to reward us for our sin. There's going to be blessing that happens as the result of our seeking him. And that's just true. It's just true. But then prayer is, it's bold. It should be bold. I mean, there's times when we're broken and it's just humble or it's lament or, but there's times when prayer is bold and persistent. You remember the story of the widow who, you know, went before the judge and again and again and again and again and wore him out? And the teaching wasn't that God is going to get bugged. The teaching is that persistence in prayer is powerful, not to the twisting of God's arm, but it does something powerful in us. And eventually, we get that answer and that breakthrough. God loves persistent prayer. So listen, if you've been praying for a loved one who hasn't come to the Lord yet, and it's been 20 years, Don't stop. Don't stop. Just keep going to the Lord. Keep bringing the name of that person to the Lord. Keep doing it. And then prayer aligns us with God's will. And this is so powerful. And sometimes, you know, I'll hear preachers say, well, prayer is, it's all about us being changed. It's not, it is about that, but it's both and. God actually answers our prayers. He does things that he wouldn't do if we had not prayed. I believe that. I believe that's the biblical record. And so somehow God has, you know, woven into the fabric of his perfect will our participation. And so we participate through prayer. And when we pray, we are exposing ourselves to the Lord and to his glory. And when we pray about stuff, like for instance, having a problem in a relationship, and we pray for that person that we're having trouble with, it's amazing what happens. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this, but when I pray for someone that I am at odds with, I find my heart changing. The hardness and the stubbornness and the self-righteousness and all the stuff that I've got, it starts to kind of melt like wax. And all of a sudden I start thinking thoughts of, oh, you know what? Maybe I don't understand that person. Maybe I don't realize what they're going through. Maybe I don't realize what God has for them. Maybe, and all of a sudden my thought patterns, my, you know, self-centered thought patterns are interrupted by the glory of God. That happens in prayer. The reason why Paul was able to pray for the salvation of his brethren, the Jews, even saying he would forfeit his salvation if the Jews would be saved. The reason that Paul could pray like that or could make that kind of a declaration was because he prayed continually for his brethren, the Jews. That's why. And so it's so powerful. And then let me give you one more. Prayer is, it's more of a lifestyle than it is like an event or a meeting. Probably in a few minutes, we'll break up and pray a little bit. And if that's intimidating to you, you don't have to pray. But let me challenge you. It's good to break out of your comfort zone. It really is. Like, even if you say something dumb, I've prayed some dumb stuff in group prayer. And it's good. Humble pie. It doesn't taste good, but man, it's good for you. It's full of nutrients spiritually. But here's the thing. Prayer is, it's to be an ongoing activity day in and day out, and interspersed with corporate prayer, communal prayer, couples prayer if you're married, family prayer if you got a family, and so on. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What does that mean? Now, obviously, Paul's not saying that you just don't talk to anybody else, just talk to God. He's saying, nurse a conversation with God. Keep that dialogue going with God. And that, by the way, is the secret of maintaining an awareness of the presence of the Lord in our life as we go throughout our day. And we'll find ourselves thinking with the mind of Christ and feeling with the heart of Christ, and moving with the Spirit of Christ. So I'm going to ask the team to come back up, and we're going to worship, and we're going to wait on the Lord a little bit, and then perhaps we'll break up and pray a little bit as well. But the Lord is here tonight, and some of you, you know, may need an answer to prayer tonight or a touch from God in some way. And let's seek him, because the Lord is so gracious. And if we've been stubborn with God, you know, in Isaiah chapter 30, there's a verse, I think it's right around verse 18, where it says, God waits that he may be gracious unto you. Like, he's waiting on you, Christian, so that he can be gracious. He's waiting to bless you. He can't wait to bless you. And so, Lord, we want to just invite the moving of your Spirit in this place. And Lord, we don't want to take prayer for granted, nor do we want to be so familiar in the way that we interact with you, God, that we forget that you are God. You are holy. You are righteous. You are one day going to judge the world. And somehow, Lord, we have been rescued from your wrath. We have been saved. We have been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And so help us tonight, Lord, to just cultivate our relationship with you, our walk with you. And Lord, that we would know you. Jesus, you said to your disciples, I no longer call you slave. I call you friend. Meet us tonight in your name. Amen.